In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hi, I'm Tara Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition. New episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
Throwing a Christmas party in 2021 felt like a much-needed break from the chaos of that year. Between online classes, working part-time, and the general gloom hanging over everything, I was ready for some holiday cheer. So I decided to host a small get-together at my place in Knoxville. Just close friends, festive music, and a lot of eggnog. The night started out perfect. People trickled in wearing goofy Christmas sweaters, arms loaded with snacks and gifts. My buddy Alex took over DJ duties, blasting holiday classics with a few pop hits mixed in. The living room smelled of cinnamon-scented candles and fresh cookies, and the tree in the corner sparkled with cheap but charming decorations. It felt good to laugh and catch up with everyone after such a weird, isolating year. About an hour into the party, the doorbell rang. I was in the kitchen refilling the punch bowl and called out for someone to grab it. A moment later, my friend Mia popped her head in and said, "Hey, there's some guy here. Is he one of your friends?" I frowned, wiping my hands on a dish towel. "What guy?" "I don't know," she said with a shrug. "He's just standing by the door. He said he heard about the party and wanted to stop by." I walked into the living room where a man I'd never seen before was standing awkwardly near the door, holding a small gift bag. He looked to be in his late 30s, definitely older than anyone else at the party, and his outfit, a faded sweater and jeans, didn't exactly scream holiday spirit. "Hey," I said, trying to keep my tone friendly but firm. "Can I help you?" He smiled. "I heard about the party and thought I'd stop by. It's Christmas, after all." I exchanged a quick look with Alex, who had wandered over to see what was going on. "Sorry, man, this is kind of a private thing. Just close friends." He didn't drop his smile for a second. "That's fine," he said, stepping further into the room. "I won't be any trouble. I'll just hang out for a bit." Alex moved to block his path. "Hey, look, this isn't cool," Alex said. "You need to leave." The man's expression darkened. "It's Christmas," he repeated, this time with an edge to his voice. "You shouldn't turn people away during the holidays." The room went quiet. Mia hovered near the hallway, her eyes wide, while a couple of other friends stood frozen, unsure of what to do. My heart was racing, but I forced myself to stay calm. "I think you should go," I said, stepping closer to him. "I'll have to call someone if you don't." The man's grin returned, but it looked forced. "No need for that," he said, backing up slightly. "I'll leave. Just wanted to spread some holiday cheer." He turned and walked out the door, but not before giving me a long, unsettling look that made my skin crawl. I locked the door behind him and turned to my friends. "What the hell was that?" I muttered. "That was weird," Mia said, crossing her arms. "You think he's gone?" Alex peeked through the curtains. "I don't see him, but we should keep an eye out." We tried to shake it off and get back into the party spirit, but the mood had shifted. Conversations were quieter, and even the slightest noise had everyone on high alert. About 30 minutes later, I went to grab a fresh pack of napkins from the hallway closet and froze. The man was back. He was standing in the yard, just beyond the glow of the Christmas lights, staring at the house. I quickly closed the curtain and grabbed my phone. "He's outside," I whispered to Alex, who immediately stood up and moved toward the door. "Don't go out there," I said, stopping him. "I'm calling the cops." The operator took my information and assured me someone would be there soon. Meanwhile, the man just stood there, not moving, his figure barely visible through the frosty window. The minutes stretched out like hours. At one point, I thought he was gone, but then saw him rounding the side of the house. My stomach turned as I realized he was checking the windows. Alex and I locked every door and window, double-checking them as the tension in the room grew unbearable. "What does he want?" Mia whispered. "I don't know," I said, "but we're not letting him in." When the flashing lights of a police cruiser finally appeared, the man bolted. He disappeared into the shadows of the neighborhood, and by the time the officers knocked on the door, he was long gone. I told them everything. They took a statement and did a quick sweep of the area, but didn't find him. "We'll keep an eye out," one of the officers said. "It's not uncommon for strangers to crash parties this time of year. People let their guard down during the holidays." The party ended shortly after that. My friends left in groups, everyone on edge as they walked to their cars. Alex stayed the night, insisting he didn't feel right leaving me alone. I was grateful for the company, but neither of us slept much. The next morning, I found footprints in the snow leading around the house. They circled the living room windows and stopped at the back door before heading off into the woods behind the property. It was clear the man had been watching us for longer than we realized. I've hosted a few gatherings since then, but now, doors stay locked, guest lists are tight, and I never hesitate to call for help if something feels off. Working retail during the holidays is like diving into a storm of cheerful chaos. Crowds of shoppers, blasting Christmas music, and in-your-face decorations, it's all part of the season. I worked as an assistant manager at a small boutique in Atlanta, in the heart of one of the city's busiest malls. I'd always loved the energy of the holidays, even if it was exhausting. But last Christmas changed the way I felt about the season and my job forever. It was December 2021, smack in the middle of the holiday rush. The mall was packed as usual, with shoppers darting from store to store, arms weighed down with bags. Our boutique specialized in trendy, affordable clothing.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hi, I'm Tara Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
So we were slammed with last-minute gift hunters. My shift that Friday started at noon and stretched into the evening. I'd barely had a chance to sit down all day. Around 6 p.m., as I was ringing up a customer, I noticed a man standing near the fountain just across from our store. He wasn't shopping or browsing, just standing there, his hands shoved into the pockets of a dark coat. At first, it didn't seem significant. Plenty of people waited around in the mall for their friends or family, especially near the fountain. But something about him caught my attention. Maybe it was the way he was looking at me. His eyes were fixed in my direction, unblinking, like he was observing me intently. I shook it off and went back to helping customers. By the time I looked up again, he was gone, and I convinced myself I'd imagined his staring. The store was too busy for me to dwell on it. As the evening went on, the crowds thinned. The chaotic energy of the day began to fade, and all that remained was the occasional jingling of a Salvation Army bell near the entrance. I was restocking shelves when I saw him again. He was standing by the entrance to our store this time, pretending to look at a display of scarves, but his eyes kept flicking toward me. He wasn't shopping, he was clearly lingering. I told myself it was probably nothing. Maybe he was waiting for someone, or maybe he really was interested in scarves. But as the minutes passed, his presence became harder to ignore. I mentioned it to my coworker Ella, who was helping a customer nearby. "That guy keeps hanging around," I said quietly, nodding toward the entrance. Ella looked over. "He's probably just killing time. If he does anything weird, let me know." I focused on dismissing the unease clouding my head. But as the night wore on, it only got worse. Every time I looked toward the entrance, he was there. Sometimes he was pretending to look at another store. Other times he just stood in the middle of the walkway, looking straight at me. At one point, I stepped into the stockroom to grab more items for the display racks. When I came back out, Ella was at the register, ringing up the last customer in line. "He's gone now," she said, noticing my worried expression. "Maybe he finally left." But as I walked toward the entrance to adjust a mannequin, I looked out into the mall and froze. He was there again, standing by the fountain like before, watching me. I decided to ignore him. If he wanted to stand there all night, that was his business. I finished my task and went back to the register to help Ella close up. But the cold draft of unease whispered through my mind, and no matter what, I couldn't escape the thought that something wasn't right. When the store closed at 9 p.m., I was relieved. Ella offered to walk out with me, but I didn't want to make a big deal out of nothing. "I'll be fine," I said. "It's probably nothing." Big mistake. The parking lot was nearly empty when I stepped outside. My car was parked in one of the darker corners near the back exit of the mall. It had seemed like a good spot earlier, but now the shadows felt suffocating. The air was cold, my breath visible as I hurried across the lot, clutching my bag tightly. Halfway to my car, I heard footsteps behind me. I told myself it was just another shopper heading to their car, but the footsteps didn't fade. They stayed steady, matching my pace. My heart began to race. I tightened my grip on my bag and quickened my pace, my eyes scanning the rows of cars for anyone else. The lot was deserted. As I reached my car, I fumbled for my keys, the footsteps growing louder behind me. My pulse was pounding in my ears. I turned around and there he was, the man from the mall. He was standing a few feet away, his hands still shoved in his coat pockets and a smile plastered across his face. "Didn't mean to scare you," he said. "I just wanted to say hi." "Hi," I said, my voice shaky. "Can I help you?" He took a step closer. "You just seem nice. Thought maybe you could use some company." I stepped back. "No, thanks. I'm fine. Come on, it's Christmas. You shouldn't be out here alone." "I'm good," I said more firmly this time. "You should leave." He didn't move. For a moment, we just stared at each other, the tension thick. Then, without thinking, I hit the panic button on my car key. The horn blared, echoing through the lot. The sound startled him. He mumbled something I couldn't catch and turned, walking quickly toward the mall entrance. I didn't wait to see where he went. I climbed into my car, locking the doors behind me. My hands were shaking so bad that I had trouble starting the engine. Instead of driving straight home, I went back to the mall and parked near the security office. The guards took me seriously when I told them what had happened. They sent someone to check the lot, and within minutes they found him loitering near the entrance. When they brought him back to the office, he was all smiles again, insisting he hadn't done anything wrong. "I was just being friendly," he said. "It's Christmas, for God's sake." But his behavior told a different story. The way he'd followed me, the persistence in his voice, it wasn't friendly. It was unsettling. The guards escorted him out of the mall, warning him not to return. I talked to my boss to start my vacation a little earlier. I didn't want to go back to work. And when I finally did, I made sure I was never alone during my shifts. Ella and I started walking each other to our cars every night, just in case. I still can't walk through a crowded mall without thinking about that man. The holidays, which used to be my favorite time of year, now carry a faint air of anxiety and tension. Because sometimes, even in the brightest, most cheerful places, darkness finds a way to creep in. Being a professional driver means I spend most of my days sitting in traffic, navigating congested streets, and dealing with impatient people. By the weekend, I'm craving silence and open spaces. That's why I've developed a habit of hiking on my days off. It's kind of therapeutic. It clears my head and gives me some semblance of balance. Christmas morning in 2022 started just like any other day off. I wasn't due at my sister's house until the afternoon, so I figured I'd use the morning to hike a trail just outside Anchorage that I'd been meaning to explore. I loaded up my backpack with some essentials: water, a thermos of coffee, a protein bar, and my trusty camera, and hit the road. The weather was perfect for a winter hike: bright, crisp, and cold, with the kind of fresh snow that blankets the world in silence. When I arrived at the trailhead, mine was the only car in the lot. That's one of the reasons I love hiking on Christmas morning. Most people are at home, and I get the trail all to myself. The snow was untouched, and the air was so still it felt like the forest had pressed pause on time itself. I tightened my boots, adjusted my gloves, and started walking. The trail wound through a thick forest of spruce trees, their branches heavy with snow. I stopped here and there to take pictures. The way the sunlight filtered through the trees was stunning. The quiet was soothing, and I found myself thinking about how lucky I was to have this moment of peace. Everything about that morning felt perfect, until I heard the laughter. At first, it was barely audible over the crunch of my boots in the snow. I stopped walking. It sounded like a child's laugh, light and airy. I looked around, expecting to see a family hiking nearby, but the trail was empty. The snow was pristine, undisturbed except for my own footprints. I ignored it and moved on. Sound carries strangely in the woods, and it was probably just some distant hikers. Or maybe it was an animal. I wasn't an expert on Alaskan wildlife, but I'd heard some animals make noises that can mimic human sounds. Still, there was something about that laughter that didn't sit right with me. I kept walking, trying to push it out of my mind. The trail tightened, leading into the middle of the dense trees, their snow-laden branches arching overhead like a tunnel. The laughter came again, closer this time. I stopped in my tracks. "Hello?" I called out, my voice breaking the silence. Nothing, just the wind through the trees. My unease grew. I scanned the forest. There was no sign of anyone, no tracks leading off the trail. I told myself it was just my imagination, a trick of the mind in the quiet of the woods. I tried to focus on the beauty around me, snapping a few more photos to distract myself. But the laughter didn't stop. It followed me as I walked, sometimes faint and distant, other times sharp and close, like someone was right behind me. I tried to convince myself it was all in my head, but every time I stopped to listen, the sound stopped too. It was like whoever, or whatever, was making the noise didn't want to be found. I reached a small clearing where the trees opened up to reveal a frozen pond. It was breathtaking, the kind of scene you'd see on a Christmas card. I set my backpack down and pulled out my camera, trying to focus on capturing the moment, but the laughter was still there, echoing around the clearing. "Okay, who's out there?" I shouted, my voice cracking slightly. The laughter stopped. The silence was immediate and absolute. The hair on the back of my neck stood on end. I scanned the trees, heart racing, and then I saw a shadow moving between the trees on the far side of the pond. It was very quick, but it was enough to send a jolt of adrenaline through me. I grabbed my backpack and started back the way I came, my pace quickening with every step. The laughter returned, louder now, echoing from all around me. It wasn't playful anymore. It was mocking, taunting, like whoever or whatever was making it was enjoying my fear. I tried to keep calm, telling myself it was just some kids messing around, but what really freaked me out was the fact that there were no other footprints in the snow. Whoever was out there wasn't walking. The trail felt longer on the way back. My nerves had me looking back, expecting to see someone, or something, following me. The forest started to feel like a trap. When I finally reached the parking lot, I was out of breath and sweating despite the cold. My car was still the only one there. I threw my backpack in the back seat and climbed in, locking the doors immediately. For a moment, I just sat there, staring at the trailhead, and then I saw it again. a shadow moving between the trees. It was too far away to make out any details, but it was enough to make my hands shake as I fumbled with the keys. When I got home, I went through the photos on my camera, expecting to see something or someone in the background, but there was nothing unusual, just the serene beauty of the forest. I tried to tell myself it was all in my head, a combination of the quiet woods and my imagination, but something inside me told me otherwise. I wasn't planning on spending Christmas Eve by myself, but after a stupid argument with my mom, I decided I needed space. The usual chaos of a family Christmas wasn't worth the stress this year. Instead, I stayed in my little house in Albany, planning a cozy night with some hot cocoa, a stack of holiday movies, and the soft glow of my Christmas tree. The snowstorm outside only added to the cozy atmosphere, and I let myself enjoy the quiet. By 10 p.m., I was halfway through my second movie, wrapped in a fleece blanket and savoring the calm. It was the kind of peace I hadn't felt in a while. Then a knock came. It was sharp and jolted me out of my relaxed state. I looked at the clock, just past midnight. My first thought was that it was one of my neighbors, but why would anyone be out in this weather? I set my mug down and shuffled to the door, more annoyed than anything. I peeked through the peephole, expecting to see someone asking for help or delivering a misplaced package. Instead, I saw him. A man dressed as Santa, complete with a red suit and a slightly crooked fake beard, stood still on my porch. His head was tilted slightly, as if waiting for me to respond. The porch light cast strange shadows over his face, making it hard to see his expression. "Who is it?" I called out, my voice firmer than I felt. He leaned closer to the door, his gloved hand brushing the frame. "It's Santa," he said, his voice unnervingly calm. "I'm here to deliver your gifts." "You've got the wrong house," I said. "No," he said, almost cheerfully. "This is the right house." That was enough for me. I backed away from the door, my heart starting to race. I didn't like the way he said it, the certainty in his tone. I stood there for a moment, unsure of what to do, when the knock came again. Louder this time. I looked through the peephole again. He was still there, staring straight at the door. "Let me in," he said, his voice lower now. I didn't respond. Instead, I locked the deadbolt and stepped back further. As I grabbed my phone, the knocking started again, harder and more frantic. Then it stopped. I crept toward the living room window, pulling back the curtain just enough to peek outside. The porch was empty. The man in the Santa suit was gone. But something felt off. I scanned the snow-covered street, looking for footprints, but the storm was covering everything too quickly. My breath hitched as I tried to calm myself, trying to believe he was gone. Maybe it was some weird prank, or maybe he really was at the wrong house. Either way, I wasn't going to let it ruin my night. I locked every window and door in the apartment, double-checked the back door, and returned to the couch. An hour passed. I tried to focus on the movie, but my eyes kept darting to the windows. I told myself I was being ridiculous, that I was letting my imagination get the best of me. Then I heard the scraping sound, like something brushing against the side of the house. I muted the TV and strained to listen. The sound came again, like someone dragging something along the wall outside. I stood there motionless, my pulse thundered in my ears. Slowly, I crept to the window and peeked outside again. Nothing. The porch was empty, and the snow-covered street was as quiet as ever. But the sound didn't stop. It moved to the back of the house, near the kitchen. A new kind of fear settled over me as I tiptoed toward the kitchen. I could hear the faint sound of footsteps now crunching in the snow just outside the window. My hand hovered over the light switch, but I didn't turn it on. Instead, I crouched low, peeking through the gap in the curtains. He was there. The man in the Santa suit was standing in my backyard. My breath caught in my throat as I watched him with that fake beard. He was just standing there like he was waiting for something. I stumbled back, my hand flying to my mouth to stifle a gasp. My phone was still on the couch, but I couldn't move. The footsteps started again. I could hear him moving closer to the front door. Then came the knock again, three sharp raps just like before. "Let me in," he called, his voice muffled, but still calm. I grabbed a kitchen knife and backed into the hallway. The knocking turned into pounding. each hit rattling the door. "Let me in," he shouted now, his voice angry and forceful. I ran to the living room and grabbed my phone, dialing 911 with shaking hands. The operator picked up, and I stammered out what was happening. She assured me help was on the way and told me to stay on the line. Then the back door rattled. I whipped around, clutching the knife tighter. The man was trying the handle, jiggling it violently. "I just want to deliver your gifts," he called out, his voice taking on a sing-song tone. "Don't you want your gifts?" "Leave now," I shouted. "The police are coming." The jiggling stopped. For a moment, the only sound was the wind howling outside. I stayed frozen in the middle of the room. The operator was still on the line. Her voice reassured me that officers were close. I didn't move until I saw the red and blue lights flashing through the front window. The police arrived minutes later, sweeping the property with flashlights. They found footprints around the house and leading into the backyard, but no sign of the man. The snowstorm had already started to cover the tracks, making it impossible to follow them. The officers told me I'd done the right thing by calling them and assured me they'd patrol the area for the rest of the night. But their words didn't erase the image of the man standing in my backyard and the sound of the door rattling. I packed a bag and drove to my parents' house the next morning. The fight with my mom seemed meaningless now. All I wanted was to feel safe. Now I can't look at a Santa suit without thinking of that night. If these chilling Christmas tales gave you second thoughts about holiday cheer, don't forget to smash that like button and subscribe for more spine-tingling stories. Have you ever had a holiday encounter that was more nightmare than Wonderland? Share your story in the comments. I'd love to hear it. Send this video to a friend who thinks Santa's the only one coming down the chimney. Wishing you a Christmas filled with warmth, joy, and just the right amount of chills to keep it thrilling. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next nightmare.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.